Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shatraj Ananda and today I have with me a very special guest, Saibal Ghosh, who is the Chief Investment Officer at Aegon Life Insurance. Well, welcome to the podcast, Mr. Ghosh.
Thank you very much and good morning to you, all of you.
Right. Well, the first question I want to put it across to you is that one which is actually relevant and burning hot topic for D Street, and that is the primary market IPOs. Well, how are you looking at the primary market with massive subscription, Mr. Ghosh, and any interesting IPOs which you're looking at as well?
Yeah, it's interesting. In the sense there is a dichotomy in the sense that when we are trying to sell a particular stock, say for a particular amount, maybe 1,000 crore, we see that the market is reacting quite significantly. But when it comes to the primary market, we are hearing that it's getting placed at maybe 10,000 crores are just getting placed in a flash of a minute. So I think there is a paradox here, but I think it's largely the liquidity flow that's what it is driving. As to the IPOs which we have been seeing, of course there are many. Mm-hmm. As investors, we look each and every opportunities to see whether it falls within our investment ambit and to our interest. There are a few but having said that, I'm not at liberty to discuss that as per the PR policy of this organization. But yeah, there are few. There are a few good ideas which have come, and especially on the tech side.
Okay. Great. I think so you are looking at IPOs, an interesting one which are coming. But what is your overall call on the markets? Do you think we have entered overheated levels or there is more upside in the offing?
I don't know, overheated or not, but the fact is that we are going through an unprecedented time. And where the market movement, which is largely decoupled from the fundamentals, it is a bit of bewildering. And at this point of time, I don't think the broad market valuation does give you any indication of whether it is overrated or not overrated. Mm-hmm. The stock specific movements are quite diverse, and it has always been. Of course, now it's even much more intense, and that's where some of the sectors where we feel that over optimism is getting built in. When you are looking at the market from a fund management perspective, you divide it into two segments. One is the stocks which would be less affected by the COVID pandemic, which has hit the economy, not only domestically, but globally. Mm-hmm. And two is that the stock which is affected by this pandemic. Mm-hmm. So when we see the first category, which is typically the companies like life insurance or a telecom or a pharma or IT for that matter, these are much, much insulated from the COVID pandemic outbreak, which has taken place. So these stocks are largely, I would say that largely valued. They are quite valued. I'll not say overvalued, but yes, some of them are a little marginally overvalued, like pharma and all. But when it goes to the other side, which is the stock which is affected by COVID and where the expectations are getting built up that as and when the normalcy is going to restore, these are the stocks which are going to come back. And some of the quality names in these kind of segments, which are typically the consumer discretionary, the service sector, the investment sector and all this stuff, where there are some quality stocks, we have seen that some and people are a bit over-optimistic and there are, I'll not say the froth has been created, but I think that over expectations are definitely in the price in some of these stocks. So largely, this is how I would like to see the market today, where it is at this point of time.
Right. And small and mid caps, which anyways have outperformed benchmark indices in 2020, got additional support from the SEBI guidelines on multi-cap funds. So what are your views on that? And recently in the past 2 days, we have seen tremendous correction or, downtick in the broader market space. What should be the strategy for?
So there are two ways to look at the things. Yes, SEBI support. I'll not say SEBI support. I think the new regulation which has come up, which is favoring buying some of the mid cap, small cap, which is fine. But that notwithstanding, as you said correctly, that in this financial year, starting this financial year, we are seeing that the mid caps, especially mid cap, has been outperforming large cap by quite a bit. There are two ways to look at the things. One is that generally the mid cap and the small caps are better representation of the India growth story. And you know, they are much more diverse in terms of even the sectoral representations. Now that's one, but and that's where the question comes, that when the Indian economy is going down at a much faster rate than the global growth or the global shrinking of the economy, why would these stocks outperform? Because you know, when India has been growing at 3% above the global growth, global average growth, these stocks are outperforming, understandable. But when India is shrinking at 3-4% more than the global average, why would these stocks outperform? One possible question which comes in mind is that also you have to understand that these stocks are typically, especially the mid cap, tend to outperform large cap when the interest rate goes down, especially in the real economy.
Okay.
And I think this transmission of soft interest rate, which has started happening for the last 6-8 months, and typically simply because the mid caps are, you know, 5-6 times more leveraged than large cap stocks, they tend to outperform. And that's what maybe we are seeing. That's one. Secondly, of course, a little technical in terms of huge retail participation, which has taken place in this financial year. Due to pandemic and all the stuff, you know, you also know that many people who are at home, HNIs, they have started directly getting into the market. The retail participation has gone on quality or the mid-cap stocks, and they have made money, of course. Okay. So maybe many reasons which are there, but fundamentally, the only reason I believe it would be that the softer interest rate, which is helping these mid-cap stocks. So that's where we are.
Right.
But finally, I believe that finally it should be quality which is going to prevail, be it mid-cap, large-cap, small-cap. I mean, any investor should keep that thing in mind.
Sure.
Rather than paint them with a brush of mid-cap, large-cap. Kind of
right. And thank you. You mentioned the quality part. I want to come extend it further. So, the first part of the question is, which sectors are on your watch list and what are the quality parameters you're looking at, especially when you're, classifying quality?
Look, at this point of time, you know, as I said, that we are going through an unprecedented time in terms of the economy. But at the same time, it's also unprecedented the kind of liquidity we are seeing in the market. So it's a difficult time for any fund managers to completely stick to fundamentals and make money, which is higher than the benchmark. So it has to be a mix of both. But as I said, that when it comes to top-down sector pickup, I think we are largely overweight in pharma. While we know that pharma is valued fully, but we still believe that some of the quality MNC farmers still have some upside, despite the fact I'm completely cognizant of the fact that they're expensive, but they may become more expensive. That's one of our views and one of the top down approach. We are getting overweight on the staples, some of the staple stocks, quality staple stocks. Okay. Insurance, we are overweight. Obviously, they are going to be benefited. And some of the quality consumer discretionary low ticket size companies. I'm talking when I'm saying low ticket discretionary items, which is where people don't have to spend more than, $1,000 or $2,000 kind of a ticket size, kind of a discretionary items. That's where we are positive. We are positive on telecom. Okay. We believe that there's a structural growth story going forward. When it comes to quality, I think we have a very, very simple approach to quality is that obviously the first is that no compromise on the ESG rating, because you like it or don't like it. ESG rating is a new reality, and we don't want to compromise on that. Okay. So high ESG rating companies where the return on capital employed has far exceeded the the average risk-free return for last 5 to 7 years on an average, meaning thereby that these are the companies which have added economic value to their business.
Yes.
So largely, this is what we see on the quantitative parameters. On a qualitative side, apart from ESG, we also look at the distribution, the brand, the franchises, and all the stuff. But
and the final question, it's a very interesting one, at least from our side. But I wanted to check with you as well. Is there anything which scares you in this market?
I would not say scared. I mean, we. A pilot cannot be scared if he has to fly the aircraft. But yes, there are a certain degree of worries there because all said and done, the explanation for the kind of the rally which we have seen is largely global liquidity-driven rally. And also it's largely followed the global markets. And I think to that extent, some of the risks are getting brewing up globally and which we should keep a close watch. And one of that, maybe the US election, we'll see the result and then we'll see how the global market reacts to that because US being the leader in this market, you have to see what's happening there. Mm-hmm. And the kind of support the US economy and the market got through the tax benefits in the last regime. Mm-hmm. Whether that's going to continue with the new, in case if there's a new leadership comes in the US and if those some of those reliefs and the incentives are reversed, the effect could be a little severe in the global market or especially the equity market, and that effect can come to India. That's one. Secondly, we also should not forget the experience of 2013, because when you are when you are rallying on the basis of the global liquidity, right. any withdrawal or tapering can have a very very severe effect on the domestic market too, both in fixed income as well as on the equity side. Mm-hmm. I think we should be cognizant of that risk once again. Go back to the 2013 days. Of course, the situation was different,
right.
But the risk can come from that side and we should not be the external sector, I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. I think one should be a little cognizant that what's happening around us rather than spending too much of time what's happening here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Ghosh, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you so much, all of you, and stay safe and keep well. Take care.
Thank you.